Well, the market reached new highs last week, and it looks great to most people when it gets there. But for David Trainer and the folks at New Constructs, it's not always great because they're looking for trouble, and they've found it. This is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone, where we talk about the trouble that, well, they don't get into it at New Constructs. They just find it. They try to root it out, and they do it with a methodology that is very different. It is discounted cash flow analysis meets forensic accounting, and they dig in from the bottom and work their way up. When you look at something at skin deep level, you're looking at the top down, you might be thinking,
you are so good looking.
They look at those good looking things and ask a question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
And if they find out that something isn't as attractive, and in fact that the situation is misleading because you're thinking it's good looking and it's not, then that would be dangerous. If you want to find out more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks, so you can always get more information on the things we are discussing here. They're on Twitter at New Constructs. David Trainer is president and founder of New Constructs. David, happy holidays. Welcome back to Money Life.
Glad to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Tesla and the S&P 500.
Danger, danger.
Okay, so obviously we're putting a little bit of the brakes on Tesla and the S&P 500 here. Tesla, a stock that has been in the danger zone before multiple times. It has also defied gravity on some occasions. Why is it back in the danger zone now with that specific caveat that it's Tesla and the S&P 500?
Yeah, we think that this inclusion of Tesla in the S&P really just symbolizes the reckless investment environment of our day, and we think it's a sad thing for the S&P to succumb to the momentum investing fad, the S&P 500, and S&P Global for that matter, for making the decision. I mean, talking about buying this thing at its peak, and I know we've said that before, but the writing is on the wall in a way that it never was before. In particular, we're seeing steep declines in market share in Europe, and Europe is a great precursor to what we expect to see in the United States, where Tesla is having to compete against incumbents who are fully focused on electric vehicle production. The mandates, the regulatory mandates in Europe effectively required all of those automakers to produce EVs, and they are. And they are, by a wide margin, kicking Tesla's butt in terms of sales. And Tesla's falling down into the teens in terms of market share, because Volkswagen and a lot of these other firms can produce better, cheaper vehicles because they have the manufacturing scale that Tesla has been yet to achieve. And we think the same thing is going to happen in the U.S. And this is not to say, as we said before, that Tesla is a bad company. It's still a good company. The problem is it's just overvalued. Its valuation implies it's going to own over 100% of the EV market by 2030. And we have way too many signs pointing to that being effectively impossible since the last time we talked about it.
When the issue carries into index funds, even though the S&P is not a price-weighted index like the Dow Jones, it is a cap-weighted index. Well, when your price gets overblown, your cap weighting gets a little bit big. So is part of your issue here that what we've got, Tesla stock going up, and that makes a problem for the index funds that own it or the index investors who have the S&P?
Look, we're probably going to see a bump as people who benchmark, you know, against the S&P 500 may have to go buy some Tesla if they don't already have it. But I think your point about how much of the portfolio that Tesla has grown into for a lot of firms presents significant downside risk. And I actually think inclusion in the S&P 500 and a little bump we might get from a technical perspective for that inclusion is going to potentially be and likely be a catalyst for so many of these funds whose position in Tesla has become outsized in their portfolios because it has gone up so much, right? If they like to have a maximum position of 4 or 5% in any one stock, and Tesla, because it's up so much, is now, you know, 10%, they got to trim that to just maintain the weightings according to their charter and the rules of their fund. And you know, they've probably been waiting to do that, right? Because it just keeps going up. Why sell into an upward trend? Getting in the S&P 500, I think a lot of people are going to see that as like, okay, we don't really see anything else and can kind of keep this stock levitating for this long. And I think it could be a catalyst for these guys finally saying, okay, let's take these gains to the bank because I don't want to risk losing any more of them than we might risk anyway. And so I don't think they're all going to sell everything, but I think they could easily be selling a bunch. And I think a little bit of selling could trigger a lot of damage in a short amount of time.
As we said, you've put Tesla in the danger zone before. It has defied gravity before, and it may defy gravity this time. But given that you also have identified a catalyst, something which we always say is the hard part, if this catalyst triggers a sell-off, what's a more fair price for Tesla, which is trading in the 570 range these days?
Yeah, I think if you're thinking about owning this stock, we think a more appropriate price is going to be in the $25 to $50. And that would still imply a decent amount of profitability and growth, and actually more profitability than what the company by far has achieved to date. So we're giving it some credit for an ability to grow. But this is one of those companies that, not surprisingly, right, has got a highly negative economic book value and doesn't really generate much profit at all. And so $50 is, I think, a pretty fair number.
That, of course, is what you think it's worth. But since it has defied gravity, do you have a number? You know, we are normally talking stupid money risk. This is not really that kind of company, other than the fact that people are throwing stupid money at it to keep the price inflating. But is there kind of a stupid money level if there was a decline that kind of says, you know, rather than going all the way to what you actually think it's worth, it kind of comes down to more of a market still frothy level? Is there a price that it's not what you'd buy it at, it's not what you think it's worth, but it is somehow more reasonable?
I don't know how you get to that. Like, I think stupid money risk is huge, right? I mean, it's a great question, Chuck, right? I think that's part of what got it goes in the calculus here. And that's something that we've thought through. It's like, look, Tesla's too expensive for any of these automakers to want to buy it. And they're already have been forced to build their own stuff, right? And we see not just in Europe, but in the U.S., GM has transferred a lot of its traditional manufacturing capacity over to EVs. And so this manufacturing capacity gives them the ability to produce, you know, a car of equal quality at a much lower price. It's scale. Scale advantages matter. And so if Tesla can't sell to someone who needs to catch up in the business, then why would you pay anything more than, I don't know, what the cash flows give you?
So again, ultimately, it has to go down. Any price that's in the interim is just something that is the market wanting to hold on and grasp for the straws when you think ultimately it has to go all the way down. It's a weird one because we haven't really had that. But yeah, irrational exuberance. Well, this stock's been all about it. Great stuff as always, David. It's Tesla, TSLA. It's the Danger Zone pick with the S&P 500 tagged along with it. Great stuff, David. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chuck. My pleasure.
David Trainer is the founder and president of New Constructs. You can follow the firm on Twitter at New Constructs. They blog about their Danger Zone picks, so there's much more information available for you on their website, newconstructs.com. The Market Call is next. David Snowball from Mutual Fund Observer, right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.